This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the MDN studio, Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side of the glass. It is time for the MGo Blogger Roundtable, always a very fun and spirited, you know, segment, session.
And it is brought to you by Home Shore Lending. Home Shore Lending is a local company, and you'll work directly with the owner, a Michigan man, Matt Demarest.
All right, so let's introduce the crew. We're going to start off first this week to my left, Mr. Ed Fang. Ed, how are you doing this morning?
Great, Sam. How are you?
Who's going to Super Bowl, man?
Oh, man, it's tight. It's tight. Numbers are all very 50-50 on this game. I know, yeah. New England's a 2.5-point favorite, probably going to get to 3. I don't know. I think it's going to come down to a last-second field goal.
I think the
Rams are getting... A 50-50 game is an answer. I mean, that's legitimately what.
But he actually just asked you who's going to win.
Okay. New England.
I'm going to ask you for an answer.
Okay, there you go.
Tom Brady and the New England Patriots will win.
All right. Across from me, Brian Cook from MGo Blog. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Doing all right?
Yes. Well, I'm ill. So if I cough a lot, that's why.
Hey, you have kids. You're
going to be sick for years.
There you go.
I don't know why they hate me. I mean, I do.
Well, Fielding last night seemed fine. He was riding the dog all over the house like it was a horse.
Oh, he could hang out with Quincy.
Yeah, that's my does that too.
They went to a party and I stayed home because I was sick. That's what happened last night.
Right. And I got to hang out with your wife and with Ed's wife, who's a lovely person. Yeah, it was really nice. Right. It was a really nice hanging out
I'm
with
glad
them.
Glad everybody had a good time with
him. Well, and then that voice that you hear is the guy that once proclaimed Terry Mills is a bum.
Oh my goodness.
Greg Ross.
No.
Greg, how you doing?
No, Terry Mills, I was old when I saw Terry Mills in high school. And in fact, I went to a game over at Romulus with my wife, and I said, this guy's phenomenal. He's great. And my wife said, I'm not so sure. I like this other guy. And the other guy turned out to be Willie Burton, who was a great player at Minnesota. And I've always been a fan of Terry Mills. Terry Mills was
a great game.
Yeah, Terry that was a great game. Terry Mills had a 38.4% 3 percentage in the NBA.
Crazy for a 6'10 guy.
Oh, yeah, Terry could shoot.
He could shoot the ball.
And, I mean, especially in his era, right?
Yeah. And take a guess what his percentage was at Michigan.
Zero.
He took like 4 in his career.
Exactly. 0 for 4.
That's crazy.
0 for 4 in his career. So obviously what he said last week was correct. He wasn't really allowed to shoot. On the other hand, he did have some people who could shoot on that team.
No doubt.
Sean Higgins, Glenn Rice. That team, I looked it up, shot 57% from the floor. That's counting threes. 57%, which is an NCAA record. So that was probably the best shooting team of all time.
And the tear that they went on, man, it was epic. That Virginia game, they shot the lights out.
Yeah, and Virginia was a good team, and it lost, I don't know, once or twice, if that. Maybe it hadn't lost
all
year.
They destroyed them. It was kind of like Michigan versus Florida in 13.
Yeah. Right.
It was like that all over again. So. Right.
I'm not
Terry
bad
was
mouthing,
a great sport though.
Yeah, I'm not bad mouthing Terry Mills.
Real quick before you move on, because you said you and your wife saw Terry Mills versus Willie Burton. I said in the last segment that I have never talked to a single Michigan fan that has gone to Columbus and had a good experience. Wow, that was a great experience. Other than maybe see a win, which we know hasn't happened in a while.
I've seen several wins in Columbus.
I have never spoken to one. I said, I had a good time, a good experience down in Columbus. You're another example.
Every single time I've been down there, I've been physically assaulted. And I'm not the sort that gets into somebody's face. I'm not like a trash talker. I don't generally say anything to opposing fans at all.
And I've had great said last night.
Yeah, I've had great experiences at Purdue, at Northwestern, at Madison, at Penn State. I've never had a problem anywhere on the road. Michigan State, one small item, 1 year, guy threw a football at my head. But beyond that,
was it Brian Lewerke?
Yeah, it might have been.
He wasn't trying to.
Right. So but Ohio State even 1 year, I mean, you in Columbus, I've had little old ladies come into my face and give me the finger and say F Michigan. I'm talking old ladies. I've had a guy who tried to punch my wife. In Columbus, felt he was drunk. He fell down on the sidewalk and missed, fortunately. But I've never had a game down there where there wasn't an incident. So the whole notion of F Ohio, oh, we're insulting your state. Oh, it's such a sad thing. I grew up in Ohio. I was born in Ohio. I'm not insulted. You know, I think my only complaint would be it lacks cleverness. And the Michigan student base can probably do better than that. And I don't mind swearing in the slightest. I don't mind being sworn at in the slightest. But I do object to sort of a lack of cleverness in it. And so that's my complaint about the Michigan students. Get clever. If you're just going to chant stupid stuff, you know, there's no value added.
It's all about making the environment hostile without being physically confrontational, verbally attacking someone specifically. They didn't do that. So I guess for me, it just wasn't a big deal. It clearly was a big deal for the admin because they went in. Every time a student started it up, they went and tried to stop it.
And that was appropriate behavior.
Right, which was appropriate for them. But she said the admin condoned the behavior, which they clearly did not. So,
well, the admin should condone the behavior of banning that woman from Chrysler. Because she lied. Nobody spit on her. She's a liar. And her, you know, they had this segment on the broadcast where, you know, they talk about how they were inculcated in hatred of Michigan. Well, that kind of came out when you're lying about Michigan on the internet. They should do her a favor and no longer permit her.
Like I said, you would think if someone spit on her, wouldn't you go right away?
There's tape of that.
To someone, so-and-so spit on me, or spit came from that direction on me.
Right.
And you would try to find that person.
Nobody
and you
spit
can't tell me
it.
That in Chrysler Arena, this fan base, that someone wouldn't have pointed out, yeah, that was that person over there.
Yeah, I mean.
Come on.
She's a liar. Her kids are crazy.
Thank you.
Caleb Wesson lost his mind last night because he hates Michigan so much. And it's like, okay, well, where did that come from? Mom, dad. So kick him out of the building. I don't think Michigan should be supporting people who are going to outright lie about the environment inside Chrysler Arena.
They can issue a no trespass. They've done it before to parents. Not necessarily to visiting parents, but they've done it.
You know, hey. Yeah.
And while you're at it, Demetri Trace is... mother too.
Oh, that's exactly what I was gonna say. Can they lock those two in the same room?
And so, yeah, which is worse though? I would say probably Trice's mom and
you can't pop on social media and claim to be spat at. You can't do that.
I guess for me, what impacts the game? She impacts the game. Trice's
sure.
mom. That's the thing.
Why not both?
Hey, so man, the basketball team. For some people, this is a sign that they're back on track. You know, X heard that question.
That was great.
We were never off track. We had a couple of poor shooting games, but we've only lost once. We weren't off track. But, you know, they've kind of seemingly found their groove again offensively, starting with, in my opinion, an improbable start on the road down in Bloomington. I said, you can't expect for Michigan to start
Rutgers just went on a 22-0 run against Indiana.
This was before that.
Seen that now.
This was before that. let's put a couple of things. Let's put it in context here. This was before 22-0 run by Rutgers.
It was at Indiana.
It was at Indiana. And it was on the heels of Michigan having two really, really poor offensive efforts.
Yeah.
Right. So it just seemed improbable that Michigan would be able to get out to as good a start as they did against Indiana here. And boy, was I wrong.
But you got to put the context of Indiana. They've been a train wreck since they came here to Chrysler, and Brandon Johns just ate their lunch.
That's it. Brandon Johns took Indiana's soul.
I actually have a lot of Indiana friends on the internet, and yeah, that team's a train wreck right now. I mean, losing at Rutgers last night, and that had started a couple games before we went to Bloomington last Friday. It's interesting. I mean, they got a top 10 NBA pick. They got senior leadership on that team, and they don't look like they know how to play basketball.
They don't have senior leadership on that team. I think that's one of the problems.
Morgan
That doesn't mean he's a leader.
Well, there you go. The problem is
they only have two players.
That doesn't help either.
Everybody else
shoot.
On their team is garbage.
Well,
that doesn't explain 22-0.
Durham gives you a little bit. I think. I mean, it's not garbage, but like they got 2.5 guys.
You should be able to beat Rutgers with 2.5 guys.
Rutgers is 4-6 in the league.
Rutgers. I said this, and you gave me the fisheye. I said this at the beginning of the season.
He's giving you the fisheye right now.
That team can play defense. I am. Jawan Morgan. I said before the season, this guy, legit contender for Big Ten Player of the Year. You just said Romeo Langford. I don't know that I agree with he's a top 10 pick.
Well, that's what the experts say. I'm not the expert.
He's supposed to be, like you said, a lottery guy.
Well, Jawan Morgan is 6'5".
You should be able to beat Rutgers. Or at the very least, you shouldn't get outscored 22-0.
Jawan Morgan is
5'11".
And whatever he goes up against.
He can still score. He can still score over a 7'1" guy.
I know, but like Rutgers has some big dudes. They got Omaru. They got Dorson. They have some guys who can D up a guy like
Jawan. You are going to sell me on that being anything other than a failure by Indiana.
Here's the thing with Indiana is they don't have a point guard. And if you recall the first time when they lost here, there was a lot of wailing by Indiana fans. Oh, if we just had Rob Phinisee, because he was injured that
Phinisee's
game.
Phinisee's just a shooter.
Right. Then we would be a lot better because Devontae Green can't play point. Well, okay, this game Devontae Green is gone. Rob Phinisee is there, and he's like, I don't know, dreadful, 2 of 12 from the floor, something like that. And so they really don't have any organizational core to that team because they really just don't have a point guard.
You know, Deron Davis is out, and I think for the year. They lost Jerome Hunter before the season. Yeah. Michigan recruited that guy.
Yeah, they did.
A sophomore. Like he probably would have been a real contributor. And then they lose Green for a mysterious midseason incident. And that's all, there's probably some discontent going on right there.
Do you think that Archie Miller is already on a hot seat?
Yeah.
In year
yeah.
two?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get fired, but yeah, he's on the hot
They're going to finish 13th in the Big Ten.
Nah.
Yes, they are.
Well, it depends on if they can untrain wreck themselves.
No, they can't.
I mean, I think this team is capable. I mean, we've seen that this team is capable of better than what they played the last six games.
Well, people have figured out how to play Romeo Langford, which is just stand 20 feet away from him. and that'll do it. So, yeah.
He does not look like a pro right now.
He doesn't.
He's a pro athlete, but he does not look like if I'm a lottery team, man, there's no way.
I mean, you gotta believe that you can get his 3-point shooting into form if you're an NBA team.
Yeah, well, if they he's an NBA player. But if they can't, he's not right now. So because he does one thing,
you can see his upside.
Sure, I agree. You can see the upside.
I'm not saying he's a top 10. Well, I mean, other people say, but.
Yeah,
but Indiana did make a run at Michigan, and they handled it well in the second half, and they took care of their business, and we march on.
13th in the Big Ten.
Yeah, Ignas Brasdeikis, found his mark. And every time they did something, it's like boom, he's there with an answer to shut the door.
We talked about this last week where they needed to attack switches, and Indiana wasn't really switching, but they were able to get him in situations where he's able to get downhill. Mm-hmm. And that is when Ignas really shines. So, they took your advice, Sam.
And then the other thing, I mean, he's shooting the basketball better, too. He's shooting from distance better, which you knew was going to happen.
His shots are better. So when he's able to just spot up and catch and shoot, yeah, he's a 40% shooter. But when he's got to go off the dribble, then he gets a big dip in his efficiency like everybody does. Mm-hmm. So, I think Michigan did a better job of getting people open looks against Indiana.
And so you fast forward to the matchup with Ohio State, which we just talked about. Caleb Wesson out of the gate was really, really good. First 5 minutes of the game, I even commented, this is a different Caleb Wesson right now. He's looking really, really good. And then Teske went all Teske on him And the guy's conditioning isn't the best. I think it was a convergence of those couple.
Also, he got thunderblocked from behind by Poole and Simpson, which probably led to events later in the game.
I agree. Yeah, there was a little
getting blocked by Xavier Simpson's problem.
So he had to be embarrassed by it. So he sets that screen, and so X. I don't know if X thought he moved on it or just threw a little something extra into it.
X thought he got an elbow in the temple.
Because he did.
Yeah. Got a little something extra on that screen.
As he's likely to do at his height. But. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, he came out and he was able to do the thing you can do a little bit against Teske, which is get lower than him and kind of move him into the restricted area, and then he's under the basket and he can't do anything. And, like, I think that's going to be important against Michigan State is preventing that from happening because that's their favorite thing to do is get out in transition and have Ward duck in against an unprepared post defender. Now, Teske has endurance, which is something that
was glaring in that game.
It was. And then, you know, he goes like, what, 1-for-8 after a 4-for-4 start? And that's kind of, and then he's still putting up shots. Like, Doc is just talking about how you can't do various things in the post, and he's still doing them because he's so desperate to get up shots. And then, you know, he has 3 fouls on trying to offense a rebound. Like, he actually did a pretty good job of not fouling on defense, possibly because Michigan doesn't post Teske. But he was just knocking people over like pinballs.
Or falling himself.
He was on the ground more than anybody else I've ever seen in a basketball game.
No, Brad Davidson.
Absolutely.
No, he was on the ground more than Davidson. He wasn't trying to take charges, but, like, you know, he'd miss a basket, and then he'd just be on the floor.
But at least Davidson's, you know, smaller than a lot of the guys on the floor when he plays.
Well, Davidson's just trying to take a charge every play.
But right. Caleb, I'm sorry, but you cannot be 6'9", 270, and get knocked to the ground by a guy that's a buck 90.
I mean, he's just got inner ear problems. I don't know what the deal is. But he was on the ground more than anyone else I've ever seen. And, like, you know, the ball, Cook this week and got sick.
That's where the inner ear problems.
The ball would go to the other side of the, and he'd just be like, oh, God. Do I have to get up and do something about this?
There was one sequence where it looked like literally he said, oh, God, get me off the floor. And finally, Archie got him. He got a timeout, got him off the floor. He looked like he was dying out there.
Yeah.
And that's why I said it was glaring, the amazing endurance, you know, relative to his size that Teske has versus the total lack of endurance that we saw from Caleb Wesson.
One thing about Iggy, as long as you're talking about him, I went back and because of the Mills Teske thing, I went back and looked at a lot of numbers. And of course, Teske, we talked about this, is
wading in this water again, huh, Craig?
Well, I'm willing to go back.
Wait, he was working on
it.
A proof. He had a mathematical proof.
Yeah, I do have
of a statement.
But Teske is number 7 right now and fewest turnovers in the country per possession. But I looked at the list, and surprisingly, there's only 5 Big Ten players in the top 100. And I think that's partly because of the nature of the physical game that's played in the Big Ten. But the one of the other 4 guys is Iggy, which surprised me very much. He's number 80 in the country in fewest turnovers. And there's only 2 guys, Ryan Taylor and Pritzel at Wisconsin, are the only guys aside from Teske who are ahead.
Guys who never see the rim.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's quite stunning that in his first year his turnover percentage is that low. I mean, I'll get into one.
He's very good. John Teske is one of the most improved players.
Well, let me
give
you a little bit of a number. I decided, how do you value a big guy? And it struck me it would be something I would call a Mills or a Teske, which is how many extra shots or extra possessions do you create? So that would be offensive rebounds plus steals minus turnovers. And in Mills' third year, when he was very good and they won the national championship.
No.
He was plus 22, which is really good. For a center to be plus 22, extra.
Wait, what's the per minute?
He doesn't do division. No, it was 1,000 minutes. He played exactly 1,000 minutes, or 999. So, So then I looked at Teske so far this year. It's plus 48. On the year in 550 minutes. So if you multiply that out, he's about plus 96, which is better also than Tarpley, because I went back and did Tarpley on his player of the year. It's double Tarpley. So
I think you got to put blocks in there, too.
Well, if you put blocks in there, the numbers are more profoundly favoring Teske.
So this is crazy, but it's also something I've kind of thought in a related non-Terry Mills way.
Yeah. I'm not bad-mouthing Mills. I love Mills. He's a great player. I'm just saying Teske isn't being, you know, is underappreciated, even as good as he is.
The 2013 team had about like 20 minutes a game from Mitch McGarry. And McGarry had a huge offensive rebound rate. He blocked a bunch of shots, and then he had a great steal rate.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was that kind of like disruption. If you remember the feeling that year when McGarry would like get that poke on the perimeter and then go get a basketball and you'd have an extra possession.
Right.
Like Teske provides a lot of that. His offensive rebounding isn't what McGarry's was or what his was last year. But other than that, like he's like, you know, when we talk about moving your feet on a hedge,
well, you know,
he doesn't just do that. He also pokes at the ball.
You know, I think this discussion, we got to get to a break. Yeah. You know, we need to, I think, frame it correctly by not proclaiming Teske the best center ever at Michigan.
He is.
You aren't saying that he isn't very good. He's very good. I think he is unquestionably the best, defensive center in the league and possibly the country. I would even go along with the argument that maybe the best defensive center in Michigan history. Yeah. I can't.
Oh, that's what I've been saying, but not counting Weber and Howard.
He's a guy who's posted up like five times this year, so it's a little bit different.
It's a different game and it's a different time, so it's always hard to evaluate. But still, every time I look at it, whether I'm watching it with my own eyes or looking at the numbers, I keep coming back to the same thing.
Well, and then there's other people arguing like, oh, he'd rather have Mo Wagner than John Teske. And I don't buy that argument. Love Mo. I love what he gave. I'll take John Teske any day.
We got to get to a break.
Me too.
Be back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket. We are back here on the MGo Blog Roundtable. Have Ed Fang, Brian Cook, and of course, the guy who just does not like Terry Mills, Craig Ross.
I like Terry Mills.
Guys, Josh Langford, out for the season. How does this change Michigan State's outlook? How does it alter the Big Ten race or even the national championship race, if at all?
Not much. Josh Langford is pretty much a replacement level player. He's a 40% three-point shooter, but Michigan State is not short in three-point shooting, and he's bad inside the line. So he had a 20 turnover rate. He's a guy who's like at a 106 O rating. If Michigan State suffers another injury in their backcourt, it will be a problem for them.
You know what? I guess it hadn't really been exposed yet, and maybe it's not going to be. But I just felt like for a team that's really deficient in guys that can get their own looks, their own good look. And I'm not saying he was great at it.
No.
I mean, let's be clear.
He's great at getting 18-foot jumpers.
Yeah, he's not great at creating his own offense, but on that team, he's probably one of their better guys at doing that.
I mean,
and so now you lose that.
Maybe. They haven't really missed a beat without him, right?
Yeah, like, I think that's the biggest argument. They've been great.
Like, he's just a guy who takes a lot of assisted three-pointers, which is something that they have still even without him. And then when he gets his own shot, it's like last year's parade of contested 18-foot jumpers.
Do you buy him as a good wing defender?
They're actually worse with him on the court defensively. But a lot of that is that he's on the court. He was on the court mostly with Nick Ward, and Nick Ward's a worse defender than Tillman. I mean, that's just a fact.
Yeah, like, I hear you.
So, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think he's an impact guy on defense either. He's just a guy.
I mean, McQuaid is their best defender,
which is the strangest thing in the world.
Yeah, it is. But he's their best defender. I mean, McQuaid is a good defender. Carson Edwards out of the game.
Who doesn't take? He takes 19 shots.
Yeah.
The guy was 4-for-9. Who did they play? Yeah, he was 4-for-19.
Yeah,
in the win, he was 4-for-19.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing about that Purdue game was that they were doubling Ward on the catch immediately. Like, it was just like, we don't care, take your threes, Nick Ward is not going to beat us. And then they had a pretty good answer for Winston with, like, Ryan Klein. So
I thought no Joe Eastern at times too.
Oh, and that's actually you're right. It was no
Eastern
Joe Eastern
is a good defender.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. That's correct, and that's kind of segues into what Michigan might be able to do now that Langford is definitely going to be out, is they could explore putting a little bit of Charles Matthews on Winston. Not like the whole time, because that would make X so mad he would explode. But like, you know, when X is on the bench, or like, you know, if you got to switch it or whatever, like that's an interesting, because he's a really great defender and he might have length, though he couldn't get off a shot.
Yeah, that's a good point, because this week I think they had Matthews on Luther Muhammad quite a bit.
And he didn't do anything.
And did zero. And Muhammad was coming off a big game. And he was completely shut down by Matthews. So yeah, I think he had 3 points and 5 shots, something like that. He couldn't get anything going.
So you think that just no impact at all?
No,
as far as their outlook, their ceiling is just as high.
Maybe they're a little bit worse, but like,
I mean, you can't take a guy who shoots 40% from three off a team and like not lower their ceiling at least a little bit.
This team
has still been great defensively.
Yeah,
I still think they're. I mean, in terms of shooters, I mean, I'm looking at their numbers. I mean, Winston shoots and McQuaid shoots, but I mean, who else?
Well,
Henry. And they're going to throw it into Ward.
Yeah. You know, I don't think their outlook has changed much by that, absent another injury, as Brian says. I think McQuaid's a better defender than Langford. I think he shoots it about as well. He's a very underrated player. Yeah, they're probably a little slightly worse with that, but it's not. I mean, it's not much.
The only thing that I think it really makes a problem with is that you can't take Kenny Goins off the floor, and he's like a 25% three-point shooter, and he's got his usage up, but he's still a very low usage guy. And it's just like, so maybe you can double off of him with relative impunity, and that's what Purdue was going to do.
I need you guys to tell me if I was a little bit off in questioning this analysis from Jason Williams. He was looking at the Nebraska. Who did Nebraska just lose to, Ira?
Illinois.
Yeah, Nebraska lost to Illinois. And so Jason Williams said, you know, Nebraska's a really good team. They just haven't been the same since they lost Isaac Copeland. And I thought, well, wait a minute.
That's one game, right?
Yeah, they just lost Isaac Copeland in the game
prior
to Ohio State. So
they did lose that game by 10. So,
but they lost to Rutgers the game before that with Copeland.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where is this analysis coming from?
Jason Williams needs a story, and that's what he's going to tell. I think Nebraska is not a very good basketball team.
So I look at, you know, you look at you guys thinking that Archie Miller's on the hot seat. What about Tim Miles?
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably going to make it. I think they're going to make the tournament.
Well, right, but, I mean, for sure. Like, with the quality of out-of-conference wins, I think they do make the tournament, but
they got to
looking
start winning
at them, they're
games.
Not a good basketball team. They're not fundamentally sound, I think, on either side of the court. You know, obviously they have some talent.
I'm just
not impressed.
I mean, if you're Nebraska, it's not going to get better than this.
No, but right. Like, what are you going to Glenn Mason it and be like, you got to get out of here? And then who's the next guy and what's he going to do? So
that's actually a very good point.
Try to pluck a gem from the lower ranks of coaching.
Yeah, and then maybe he stays for 3 years. And I think the Fred Hoiberg get all the transfers approach that they've kind of touched on is probably the way to go. Now, their problem is that James Palmer, I think, has been one of the more disappointing players in the league.
Yeah.
He can't get to the bucket. He's forcing up a lot of tough contested shots, and he's not making them. So what's
that
different?
That dude was ice cold last year.
He was.
He was really good.
Wouldn't you? Would you give Nate Oates a chance in Nebraska? He's tearing it up at Buffalo right now.
Yeah, Nate, I'm
that
proud
team.
Of Nate.
But if I'm Nate, I'm not touching
Oates
Nebraska.
Isn't taking that job.
Well, yeah, maybe
I'm
not.
I'm so proud of Nate.
I wouldn't take that.
You
job.
Wouldn't take a run at him?
Not Man. If I'm not. No, if I'm Nebraska, I would take a run at Nate Oates.
Yeah.
If I'm Nate Oates, I'm telling Nebraska to take a walk.
And someone is coming after Nate Oates this year.
Nate Oates is going to get paid a job
and a job.
You know, that's not Nebraska's.
Right. Yeah, I remember when Nate got the job at Romulus. It was Ronnie Coleman's sophomore or junior year. And it was like, I mean, you had this out-of-state guy coming from Wisconsin, doesn't really know the area, and he had to win people over. I mean, it took him a minute. It was intimidating, and he got it done. I think the guy is going to be big time. Now, he inherited a good situation. Let's be clear.
Yeah, he's got some talent on that team.
But he's taking that situation and he's running with it. So happy for Nate. You know, I think that some Big Ten team is going to come looking for him. I wouldn't go to Nebraska either.
I don't think there's going to be a coaching change in the league this year.
Ira thinks Maryland needs to have a coaching change, right?
Ira's thought that for about 10 years.
What about Nate Oates to Maryland?
Now, see, that one, if you're Nate Oates, you look at Maryland and go, wow, that's a... You're in the D.C. area. You've got great recruiting.
Absolutely.
That's a spot. That's a spot that you would. If I'm Maryland, great job. Heck yeah! If I'm Maryland, I'm making that call tomorrow.
Are you kidding? I have bad news for you, Ira.
Tell them I can pass him Nate's number.
Mark Turgeon is not going to get fired after getting a 4 seed. Like that's not.
You think if he gets a 4 seed,
Ira is going to fire him right now. Ira would fire Tornadoes Turgeon right now.
Yeah, he
would have fired him 8 years ago.
No. 8 years ago, I gave him a chance, but he has proven in his time that he's not a good enough coach. Give me Nate Oates, and he takes that team further this year. If you brought him in right now, which is not gonna, but so, he would take that team further than Turgeon.
Ira, do you like watch Maryland games, and you're like, oh.
Oh, I, yeah, it's
cringeworthy. Can we lose this, please?
Yes, it's cringeworthy at times.
Is that, you're really like in the Amaker zone?
That might be a pretty good analogy. I'm not alone. There are the game that really put over the top, the loss at Michigan State. I don't think it was that they lost, but it was like how they lost.
I don't think we should have got them started.
Yeah, don't get me started. Yeah. But there should be. It won't be a coaching change there, but there should be. Nebraska needs a coaching change even more, but I think that they're both. I think both of those coaches are really similar in that they bring in talent and they can't coach them up.
Brian made a great point, though. Nebraska, maybe they need to just take stock and say, you know, this is who we are. This is as far as we're going to go and not do the Glenn Mason thing. Because I said, you know, Minnesota didn't know they're Minnesota, right? This is just what you're going to be. It's not going to get much better than Glenn Mason, at least at that time.
Miles was unfortunate that, you know, they were 13-5 in the league last year. They deserved a bit. Like, you know, wins above bubble had them as a 9 seed. So, like, any, like, really good resume ranker had them easily in the tournament, but because of the vagaries of the NCAA system and how they applied to the Big Ten last year, they got left out. And his job looks a lot more secure if they're a 9 seed last year.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Where are they projected at now?
I'm not sure.
Better than